Do I sound any better now? Now, you will remember that on Easter Sunday we began a study of the resurrection. And we saw that our salvation is intimately related to the resurrection. As Paul tells us, if Christ is not arisen from the dead, we are of all people the most miserable. So the resurrection is basic to our salvation. We are bondservants, and our Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord. And we saw if He is Lord, or since He is Lord, we owe Him obedience. Don't call me Lord, and do not things which I say. And we saw, in addition to that, that as bondservants, we are to be faithful, thou good and faithful servant. And now tonight we want to consider that the bondservant owes his Lord devotion. And let us look, please, at Exodus chapter 21. We are to be devoted, industrious, wholehearted, tenacious, persevering, and untiring. Exodus chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. We are to be devoted to the Lord and to His cause. Exodus 21, verse 1. Now there, these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve. In the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he come in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, he shall go out by himself. Verse 5. If the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Devotion. Dedication to the master. This is what we owe the Lord. Devotion. Now let's look at a few scriptures, please. Luke chapter 19. Verse 13. Luke 19. Well, we might start at verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. That's the picture of our Lord. He's gone to prepare a place for us, and he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. This nobleman went to receive a kingdom and to return. Verse 13. He called his 10 servants, delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy, do business, work, until I come. And the Lord would have us devoted to service. We ask ourselves, what am I doing for the Lord? Now, that doesn't mean you have to go out on a mission field. We can serve the Lord, should serve the Lord, be occupied with serving Him in the home, at work, even as we walk the streets. I have told you this before, but it's one of the greatest compliments I ever had in life. A lady came to my office for the first time. I never saw her. She came in, I spoke to her. And when we were finished, she said to me, are you a Christian? I said, yes. She said, I thought so. That is the greatest compliment I ever received in life. Someone I didn't know could tell from my behavior that I was a Christian. Occupy till he come. Romans chapter 12, please. We are to occupy. We ought to be industrious, we ought to be devoted to our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 12. Verse 13. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We ought to be devoted to Him and to work with all of our effort, with tenacity. 1 Corinthians 15, please. Verse 58. You will note that these are all well-known verses. Every one of us here knows these verses. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When we serve the Lord, we are not working in vain. There is one man in Scripture, and I like to read about him because he pictures to me what it means to be devoted, what it means to work hard. And he is found in 2 Samuel, please, chapter 23. 2 Samuel, chapter 23. Starting at verse 8. Devotion, tenacity, wholeheartedness, perseverance. 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachamite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. First line. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Elhite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose, smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clung to the sword. That's devotion. He held that sword with such might and with such tenacity and with such determination, he couldn't let it go. And if we gather nothing else this evening, let's learn to be devoted to the Lord so that nothing will make us cease our devotion to the Lord. He smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand cleaved to the sword. That's devotion. That's the kind of devotion that we need. And it has been said, I think it's by Emerson, nothing was ever achieved without enthusiasm. And that's what we need in the service of the Lord. Enthusiasm, zeal, fervor, and holding tight to the truths of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. 1 You will notice that these are all familiar scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Tenacity. Verse 11. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, who is Christ Jesus. Pardon me, who is Jesus Christ. I don't know why I read that wrong. But there is a difference between Christ Jesus and Jesus Christ. Check it when you go home. You find it especially in the book of Philippians in chapter 3. There is a difference. Now, verse 12. If any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. We are all called to work, and whatever we're doing is going to come up for evaluation. The day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. And so we have those believers who were not doing anything, who were not working, who were not adding to the body of Christ, who were not building wood, hay, and stubble. Their works will not last, but they will be saved. What are we doing for the Lord? The story is told of a certain man, wealthy man, had many servants. And one of his servants was a builder. And one day he said to his servant, "You've been with me many years now, and I want you to build a house over there. You decide the architecture. You decide what's to go in the house. Just build." And this man, the builder, was very careless. He didn't supervise the building. He didn't supervise the material that went into it. And he allowed the most inferior materials to go into the building of that house. One day he came to his Lord and said, "Master, the house is finished." Master said, "Meet me there tomorrow at noon." And he met this servant, the builder, at noon and said to him, "You have been working for me for a long time, and I have wanted to do something for you. Here are the keys to this house. The house is yours." I wonder how that man felt. What are we putting into the work of the Lord? Are we zealous? Are we putting in the best? What are we doing for the Lord? And then there is one thing that we need to remember. Every child of God is gifted. God has no ungifted children. You get these thoughts, we won't look into them now. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter chapter 3. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is gifted. Question. Do you know what your gift is? We're not going to go into that tonight. And that spiritual gift is not the same as natural gift. Matthew, please. God has given every child of his a gift, sometimes more than one gift. Are we using those gifts? Book of Matthew, I think it's chapter 25. Yes. Our natural gifts are not the same as our spiritual gifts. Our spiritual gifts are given to us when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God would have us use those and devote ourselves to the use of those. Read with me from verse 14. "The kingdom of the heavens is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Now notice, to every man according to his individual ability. We don't all have the same individual ability. And God gives us gifts as he sees fit according to that ability. And I ask you, beloved, what are we doing with our spiritual gifts? Are we devoting them to the service of the Lord? Just what are we doing with our gifts? It has been said, and I'm glad it's not true of this assembly, 90% of the work is done by 10% of the believers. Thank the Lord that's not true here. But it's true in many assemblies. Then there is a classification of workers in the assembly. Believers who make things happen. Believers who watch things happen. And believers who ask what happened. Are we working? Are we devoted to the service of the Lord? Devotion and working for the Lord. We've all heard of Thomas Edison, that great electrical genius. There's a place in Edison, New Jersey, named after him. Lovely building showing all his efforts. Thomas Edison. He'd be down in the laboratory working, and his wife would say, "Tom, your supper is ready." "All right, I'll be there." The ladies don't like that, do they? They have supper ready, nice and warm. And he's down in the laboratory. He comes up 2 hours later. But he was supplying himself. And as a result of his work, we have, for example, the electric bulb. He worked hard on that. And you know, it's necessary to be diligent and to work. This same Thomas Edison said, "Inspiration is 90% perspiration." Those of you that are taking piano lessons, you know what I mean. Those fingers just don't go there and do what you want them to do. You've got to work and work and work at it. And so it is in the service of the Lord. We've got to work and work and continually work. Then I think of another man. At the turn of the century, just as AIDS today is a worldwide plague, syphilis was a worldwide plague. I say turn of the century, not this last century, from the 19th into the 20th. Syphilis was a dread disease. And the famous saying was, 1 hour with Venus and 2 years with Mercury. Mercury was the treatment. You had to rub it into the skin several times a week for 2 years. That was the treatment. And then there was a man named Ehrlich. He wasn't satisfied with the treatment. And he said, "There must be a chemical that I can use against the germ causing syphilis." And he began to work. And the first 100 chemicals didn't work. Would you stop? The first 200 didn't work. And the first 300 didn't work. All these different chemicals he's using. He didn't get discouraged. He went on. The first 400 didn't work. The first 500 didn't work. And the first 600 didn't work. Would you stop? He did. He went to 601. That didn't work. 602. That didn't work. 603. That didn't work. 604. That didn't work. 605, that didn't work. 606, that did it. And for years that drug was known in medical circles as 606. Everyone in medicine knew what it was, what the drug was and what it was for. 606 times before he hit the chemical that would take care of this particular disease problem. Tenacity, devotion, keeping at it. And that is the way we must be, beloved. Don't get discouraged along with it. Keep at it with all your might and all your main. 606 times before he found the right chemical. That's what they're doing with AIDS today. Nobody has hit the right thing yet. But they're in the right direction. Somebody will hit it sometime, I don't know. It may be 1,000 times. But you've got to keep pursuing. And in our service for the Lord, our devotion must be such that we don't stop. You remember the story you had in second grade? The turtle and the hare? Remember that? The rabbit had the gall to challenge the turtle to a race. Now, on the surface, that was out of the question. You knew that the rabbit was going to win. And they started. And there was Brother Rabbit. He was so far ahead of Mr. Turtle that he decided to take a nap. You know the story. Mr. Turtle, slow but sure, they called him. Slow but sure. There's the rabbit sleeping in this, slow but sure. And he gets to the finish line and he's there, and the rabbit wakes up. Too late. We must plod and plod and keep on, regardless of the difficulties that face us, whatever they may be. Turn with me now, please, to Numbers chapter 25. Zeal for the Lord. And you don't stop because the way is difficult. You don't even stop because you're tired. We read about Eliezer. His hand was tired holding the sword, but he didn't let go. He held it so tight that he couldn't let go. And that's the way we must go. Numbers chapter 25, verse 6. Behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand. He went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. That's devotion. What did God have to say about it? Let's read on. Those that had died in the plague were 24,000. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was what? Zealous. Oh, beloved, that's what we need. I am amazed at some of these sports figures. Not so much the sportsmen themselves, but as the announcers. There was one man, he was an authority on automobile races. Go back 20 or 30 years and he can tell you which car, could tell you which car won and which one had an accident. An authority on race cars. Are we authorities on the book? What engages our attention most? What is it that we like to read most? Verse 12, wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. He shall have it, his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because, why is he getting it? He was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. We need to be zealous. We need to go at the burden of God's work with real devotion, with real zeal, with real everything that we can give. Now, we are living in a time, and I've been receiving literature. One day I would like to bring it to our attention. I often say that we don't realize the forces that are against us. And the forces that are now in powerful positions that would like to get rid of every Christian in the United States. That's that. One day I'll bring some of that literature. What are we going to do? Are we going to back down? Or are we going to stand up and stand firm for the Lord Jesus? Are we going to have devotion and show devotion? Or are we going to give up? And I have a little piece here. There are those who are the wishbones. They do all the wishing. The jawbones. They do all the talking. The knucklebones. They knock everybody and everything. back wounds. They get under the load and lift. Let's serve the Lord with zeal and with power. And then, as I mentioned, each of us have gifts. Every believer. And our gifts are to be used. Because as we read in 1 Corinthians, there's a time of evaluation. And we are hoping and trusting that our works will be evaluated as gold, silver, and precious stones, not wood, hay, and stubble. I have a little piece here. I believe this happened in Africa. A triumphal feast was scheduled in a certain village. To ensure adequate refreshments, each villager agreed to pour one pot of his best broth into a great kettle. Some of you little ones don't know what a kettle is. They don't use kettles anymore, do they? That's old-fashioned. But this was a kettle. It's a container containing liquid. And each villager was to bring some of his best soup to go into the kettle. And one of the men said, if I fill my pot with water, the dilution will be so slight no one will notice. When the feast commenced and the kettle was tapped, what do you think came out? Yeah, water. Everybody had the same thought. My little bit doesn't count. Beloved, God has given you a gift, and little as it may seem to you, He gave it to you to be used. And I like to think of ants. You read about them in Proverbs, how they work. And you know that poem, I forget. Maybe who wrote it? The butterfly and the ant? You remember that. How the ant was busy all summer. I have never seen a lazy ant. Every ant that I've seen is doing something. Either going to get something or bringing it back. And you know the story about a butterfly and the ant. Winter came. Butterfly spent his summer flitting around. And there was the ant storing and storing. And then the butterfly came to the ant. Would you give me a little of your food? The ant asked, well, what have you been doing all summer? Flitting out. And the ant said, well, you go and flit now. The ant accumulated because the ant worked. And we need to work. I asked again, as I asked myself, what am I doing for the service of the Lord? How am I serving Him? What am I doing? Can I think of some of the saints of old? Read with me in Hebrews chapter 11. The devotion of many of the old saints. Hebrews 11. We better start at verse 32. And much that we shall read took place in the intertestament times. Between the Old Testament and the New. The days of the Maccabees and those folks. Hebrews 11. Verse 32. What shall I say more? The time would fail me to tell of Gideon. Of Barak. Of Samson. Of Jephthah. Of David. And Samuel. And of the prophets. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain redemption. God's people have suffered. And particularly is this true in the early aged days of Christianity. And it's interesting to read of some of these. I think of William Tyndale, you heard him, translator of the Bible from original language and Latin into English. And he and the Church of England were in great disagreement, somewhat like Luther and Catholicism. And one day he met one of the church dignitaries. The church dignitary asked him, "Why are you translating the Bible into English?" He says, "I am translating the Bible into English so that the average boy in the field will know more Bible than you do." How's that for devotion? They hated him. He had to go to Europe and do his translation and have the Bible sent into England. And by trickery, they had him come into England and hung him. Now, you would think that's another man's dead. You hang him, he's dead. But so vicious were their feelings against him, after they hung him and he was dead, they burned his body. Was that devotion? That was devotion. And I think of another Samuel Rutherford. And I have here a piece that I copied. Charles II of England hated Rutherford because Rutherford was like John the Baptist. He was telling him he was wrong. And he had Rutherford deposed from Parliament. And then summoned him one day to appear before the king. Won't you appear before the king? When the summons reached him, Rutherford was on his deathbed. And on hearing it, calmly remarked, "I have a summons before a superior judge." How's that talk to the king? King is summoning you, come to the palace. "I have a summons before a superior judge." That's devotion. That's stamina. And we read in the book of the Revelation, chapter 2, "Be faithful unto death." And I like the translation that reads, "Be faithful even if you have to die for it." And he sent this message to Parliament. "I have to answer my first summons. And before your day arrives, I will be where few kings and great folk ever come." How's that? That's devotion. That's what we need. It's not easy. The government is against us. Religious preachers are against us. The economy is against us. But don't let that upset us. Stand firm for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you want to read about men and women who died for the Lord, many of you have read it, Fox's Book of Martyrs. There you will read how men and women stood up devotion to the very end. Just about time. Let me read you one thing. John Wesley. He traveled 250,000 miles on horseback, averaging 20 miles a day for 40 years. How's that? I'm sure he had a little rheumatism. But he was on horseback. He preached 40,000 sermons, produced hundreds of books. He knew 10 languages. Anybody here? No 10? As one of my associates said, when he was asked how many languages, he said, "Barely English." Remember, all of the so-called intelligent people aren't in the world. God has his own intelligent people too. You'd be amazed how many scientists, genuine scientists, were men of God. Isaac Newton, Pascal, and various other ones were men who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior. As a matter of fact, Pascal said, there's no other way he can think of the world the earth out and all the chemistry and physics and whatnot. There must be a God. Let me continue. At age 83, he was concerned that he could not write more than 15 hours a day without hurting his eyes. How many hours a day do we write? 83, 15 hours a day. And he was ashamed that he could not preach more than twice a day. I'll tell you, it's tough preaching once a day. And he was ashamed at 83. He noted in a journal that there was an increasing tendency to lie late in bed in the morning till 5:30 a.m. That's a man that was devoted. And there's another brother with a similar testimony, known by some of us you've heard, called the name Dr. Rose. He was devoted. I remember we shared the same home of the saints, the Davises that our brother just mentioned. His room was there and mine was here. He had a large Newberry Bible, which he had rebound several times, his own notes in there. And when he was out to breakfast or elsewhere, I'd go and look in his Newberry Bible and copy some of the notes. And one morning, I asked him, I said, you get up rather early to study the Bible. My habit was just the opposite. I said, well, tell me about that. He said, well, I noticed that the milkman, do you children know what a milkman is? He's a fellow that used to put the milk at the door. You don't do that anymore. You go to the supermarket and you get your own milk. He says, I noticed that every morning at 6 o'clock, the milk was at the door. So I went to the milkman one morning and asked him, what time do you get up to deliver milk at my house at 6 o'clock? Milkman said, I get up at 5 o'clock every morning. Devotion now. Dr. Rose said, if you can get up at 5 o'clock to deliver milk, I can get up at 4 to study the Word of God. That's the book. That's what we need. Stamina. And those who will stand for the Lord. I think I'm about finished. Exodus chapter 23, please. Verse 19. Devotion to the Lord, serving the Lord, giving Him the best. 23 Exodus, verse 19. Notice how it reads, the first of the first fruits. Not the first fruits, the first of the first fruits. The first fruits are the first fruit. I want the best of the best. That's what the Lord wants from. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. And the next expression, study this next expression when you go home. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. What is the spiritual significance of that? But the first of the first fruits, 568 leaves. I don't know if we know this. Give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. Do you hear that, young people? Don't waste your strength on a lot of nonsense around. Don't waste your strength on sports, and I'm not against sports. but save some of that strength for the Lord, for his work. Fat distribution. Telling others of the Lord Jesus Christ. Throw your soul's fresh, glowing ardor into the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. Doubtless was he young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give them the best that you have. Devotion to the Lord. Why do you know whether it was you or Kelly? Do we know this? It's easy to catch the tune. Because I had one teacher that said, just read the notes. That's all you have to do. Oh, yes, I have to be on the hook.